Well, welcome back to Ladies with Gumption, episode 201, Going Rogue. I am May, and I'm here with
Tatiana
and Jessica.
We are the Ladies with Gumption. We recap DCTV in a flash. You can usually find us over on Twitter at DCTV Gumption, live tweeting all the flash, really. I was going to say all your favorite shows, but we don't have any left. You can email us at ladieswithgumption.com. It's so sad. Or send us your asks to ladieswgumption.tumblr.com. You can also find all of our podcast episodes that are not Patreon episodes over on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Amazon Podcasts. Anywhere you listen to podcasts that is your favorite thing, we are there.
Just as a reminder, we typically record on Thursday. So if you do want to send in feedback, send it in by Thursday noon Eastern Standard Time. So unless we say that we're, you know, life is kicking our ass and we're doing it later, that's usually when we record. So,
yes. So make sure you have all your thoughts in order so that we may read them here. And for those of you who are on Patreon or who subscribe to our Patreon, thank you so much. You can listen to us talk there about everything outside of the Arrowverse world in general. We've done Netflix series. We're doing You season 4 part 1 soon. We've also done Doom Patrol. We've done Titans. We've done MCU stuff. So, and then things outside of that, we should cover. We'll cover Yellow Jackets eventually.
Cover the Harley Quinn Valentine's Day episode soon too.
Yes, we'll do that. So a lot of good stuff coming up. So if you are not subscribed, you can go to patreon.com/gctvgumption and check us out there. Over in the news, we have the Flash movie trailer that came out on Super Bowl Sunday, and that was quite interesting. It was better than I expected it to be. What did y'all think?
Yeah, I was a little bit upset with myself. I was like, oh, this is kind of interesting. Like, I don't want to reward Ezra for bad behavior, but the movie itself, I think, looks kind of interesting. And especially that you have the trio of the movie, or I guess, you know, the squad, because there's two Barrys. But having Michael Keaton's Batman and then the introduction of Sasha Kaye's Supergirl, they both looked really nice in the trailer. I think it's an interesting kind of premise. So, yeah, I am pleasantly surprised. I thought James Gunn was just bullshitting, but maybe he was not.
Yeah, I'm not mad at, I mean, obviously, again, just like Jessica, I'm not trying to reward Ezra for bad behavior or whatever, but I think as long as it does reboot the universe and we're not getting more Ezra after this, then whatever, it's fine, it looks good. And mostly, you know, I want to see Christina Hodgson's work. I loved her Birds of Prey script, and Andy Muschietti's good when he's good, so, plus, you know, more Iris on my screen, so all a win. For me.
Yes, I agree. I think I mean, obviously Ezra's issues outside of the movie world are very unfortunate. And I still don't see them as Barry Allen per se, but I feel like the film itself looks really fun in terms of like what they're exploring, because it's like the multiverse and you get like generations who loved Keaton's Batman and then generations who loved Affleck's Batman all kind of in one, and they're really heavily promoting the fact that Batman is in this movie.
Well, I think with like Michael Keaton, it's like the nostalgia, so you get all different kinds of DC generations of DC fans, so it's something for everybody.
Yeah, 100%. And Sasha Kaye looks excellent as Supergirl. I'm really excited to see what she does with the character. So I feel like there's going to hopefully be a little bit of something for everyone. And like Tati said, as long as it reboots the universe, then we'll see how it goes. Another thing about The Flash, though, is that they will release Funko Pops for the characters in the film. And one of them is Iris West, the Iris that we have not been saying over and over again for the last several years that we want the Candace Patton version and not the Kiersey Clemons version, which is great that she's even getting one, but it's just,
or even like not, she's not getting one in advance. Yeah,
right.
It was like that being the first one when the whole reason for people being asking like 8 years for an Iris Funko Pop is because of how Candace Patton portrayed Iris and revolutionized that role to the point that Kiersey Clemons was cast because they wanted to keep that continuity in the DCU. So it just seems like disrespectful. And I feel like it's some DC exec was like, see, there you go, Iris West. And I'm like, I think I need to like ask about it on Tumblr. And I was like, am I supposed to be happy for that bitch? Because I'm not. I'm not going to be like satisfied just because you said, here is an Iris. It's not the Iris. At least like, I feel like Candace's Iris should have come first. And then we can celebrate multiple versions of that character. But to not to like skip over her just feels disrespectful. A continuation of the disrespect.
Absolutely.
Yes. 100%.
And then it makes you wonder too, what is the reason? Like, what is the reason we don't have an Iris? If before they were like, oh, maybe it's like some kind of like licensing or whatever, you know, like they don't have the rights for some reason to do Iris, but clearly this is also an Iris West. That's why it can't be a reason that they can't do it. And they can obviously have more than one version of the same character. So
yeah, like, it makes no sense. And sometimes I just want them to explain like the legal rules behind this, because I just want to know genuinely. It's like, what is the issue here? So it is unfortunate, but hopefully, I like to think that we'll eventually get one if they clearly just prove that they can make
I
one.
Think we will, because I feel like if we were gonna get one, it would have been announced.
Yeah,
by, since this is the final season, so.
Sad times out here. But in happy news, we are getting Teddy Sears back as Zoom and John Wesley Shipp back as the Flash for season 9. As Jay Garrick. He's coming back as well. So that's really exciting. I don't know if they're both going to be in the series finale or if they're just kind of like in separate episodes and they're just announcing it now, because I feel like they're bringing everybody back except Cisco.
I know. I mean, I feel like they would. I mean, I don't know for sure, but part of me is like, with the amount of paparazzi shots that have spoiled things on the set as they've been filming it, if Teddy Sears or John Wesley Shipp had been there in costume, because you know they would be like out filming outside, we would have known before it got announced. So I'm assuming that they're releasing it now because they're coming and we're going to be seeing them outside. So yeah. For the finale. Wow.
Which is, it's happening. I still can't wrap my head around it, but it is happening. But for now, we were going to focus on episode 2 of Flash. We will talk about our joys, our no joys, talk about your feedback, and crown a Lady with Gumption of the Week. And to take us away on this week's adventure is the beautiful Jessica.
Yes, this episode was about a lot of choices. So, the Hear No Evil recap. We have a new kid in town. Barry and the team are introduced to Snow, who is not Caitlin and who is not Frost. She is someone different. Mark comes in to explain what had happened was, and he blames kind of Barry for destroying Caitlin's lab and for him and Caitlin like working in secret. Like, we didn't tell you because last time she told you, you blew up her lab or blew up her apartment, whatever. So he's like, we did it in secret, but something happened. But it's okay, I can fix it. And he proposes a plan to bring Caitlin back, which makes everyone kind of skeptical. And honestly, me skeptical too, because like, you had a plan to bring Frost back and clearly that failed. So your new plan, I'm not really on board. Barry gets me because Barry's also annoyed. Like, can you hear the shit? You hear the shit? You hear what I'm hearing? But, you know, Iris is like, you know, she kind of tepidly agrees. Like, you know, it's Caitlin. Like, do I believe her? I don't know. But the team does decide to go along and help Mark with his plan. But in the end, they have the right to be suspicious because Mark doesn't give a fuck about Caitlin and is actually planning with Snow. He's manipulating Snow to help him to bring Frost back too. Whether this is good or not for Snow or Caitlin or Frost, we don't know. But Mark is single-mindedly very focused on bringing Frost back at all costs. Over at the West House, Joe mourns his only daughter, Caitlin, who died. While Cecile thinks the world needs her and her powers, and is wants to talk about Joe about his, you know, wanting to leave the city. Then you have Chester, who wants to talk about the kiss that he and Allegra had in the previous episode. Allegra wants to forget it for now. She wants to focus on one thing at a time, and that is Caitlin. Meanwhile, Red Death is sending out her newest recruit, the Fiddler, a new Fiddler, to obtain Harley Rathaway's gauntlet. So this new Fiddler goes to the Krakatoa Club, which is Harley's club with his boyfriend, attacks him. She seriously injures him, but she also fails, and Red Death is not happy. Red Death is like, failure is not an option. If you fail again, you just won't be you won't be here. You won't be an option at all. You'll be gone. Back at the lab, when the team's attempt to bring back Caitlin fails, there's something that goes wrong. Mark kind of reveals his true colors and his true selfishness and motives that he wanted to bring Frost back in addition to Caitlin, which kind of worsens the distrust in the team and leads to ultimately a DNR situation where, you know, they have to interpret what Caitlin would have wanted in this situation. Mm-hmm. So the team's voting on whether to bring Frost back because that was is what Caitlin wanted initially, or to bring Caitlin back because Caitlin is their friend and she died and she didn't deserve to die. While also completely ignoring the fact that they're whole new human beings, no, and what she might want or might not want. Meanwhile, injured in his fight with the Fiddler, Hartley flees to Star Labs, where he meets Snow, this new version of Snow, and is kind of an asshole to her at first, but she breaks through his snarky outer shell with her weirdly psychic powers that are better than Cecile's because they don't have any like weird side effects or scrunched up faces. She just kind of like asking questions. And she kind of helps Hartley talk through his feelings and process the idea of saving his boyfriend without reverting to the dark side and doing something evil, like killing the Fiddler or whatever. Pied Piper and the Flash get into this second fight with the Fiddler. Flash helps Hartley to see that she hasn't killed his boyfriend and all of his employees, but they're actually trapped in some kind of static vibrational field, and only Hartley's gauntlets can release them. So he does, and they defeat the Fiddler, but she winds up getting away with what she wants anyway, which is his gauntlets, and escapes with Captain Boomerang. Meanwhile, or I guess back at Star Labs, Barry and Iris kind of realize what somebody should have realized before, that it shouldn't be up to them to decide what to do with this other person in her life. They should allow Keown, who is who Snow introduces herself as. I guess she regained some of her memories and realized that her dad wanted her personality to be all called Keown, which if you look it up is the Greek goddess of snow or something. So that's the story behind her name. And they let Keown choose her fate. Mark was not happy at all. And he vows revenge, basically. But while Mark is pouting away, West Allen plus others celebrated Keon's born day at the club while Red Death stares menacingly over the city. Red Death used Hartley Rathaway's gauntlets to, I guess, release herself from a vibrational field because, you know, up until now she's been very blurry. But now we can see clearly see the outline of her bat suit, and she is stating her menacing intent of destroying Barry Allen. So that's what happened. This episode was directed by Eric Wallace and written by Jonathan Butler and Kristen Kim, which is surprising because I think I kind of like this one. And Kristen Kim wrote it. So you go, Kristen Kim. What brought joy?
Well, it brings me joy to see Hartley having a boyfriend. I love that for him. And like running a nightclub and whatever, living his best life until he was not living his best life because of the Fiddler on the roof. So that was, that was very lovely. I like the Is that the end of what I like? No. I did like that Cecile and Joe had like a real conversation about their feelings about leaving and like, you know, things being too much and whatnot. So like, I guess that's good. I did like that Keone decided in the end that she wanted to make her own choice, that she's not going to like just go along with whatever people voting on whether she lives or dies, which is ridiculous in the first place. Iris looked great. Yeah, I think that I feel like I was mostly annoyed by people in this episode and their reactions to things. So Red Death's still cool. So I like those scenes, and I look forward to getting to know more about her motivations and seeing her do more than threaten people, maybe. So yes, and that is all.
I liked a little more than that. No, I completely blanked on what I liked. I actually did like Barry's conversation with Mark, because it was important for him to acknowledge the fact that, like, I still don't like what you did, but I understand why you did it, because I did the same shit in the past. You know, we love a man who acknowledges his mistakes, understands what it means to like do something like this for somebody you deeply care about. So I thought that was very mature of him, and I also just like the fact that he stood his ground the entire episode. Like, he was pissed off, he was angry, he was sleeping with people. Yes, he was just like, look, you like, Mark's angry about what he did with Caitlin's lab, but he's like, I did what I had to do. And at the end of the day, like, Caitlin was gonna do that anyway, like, you know, she's like, I'm making wrong choices. Yeah, like, I, you know, I don't feel bad. I did the right thing. So I was very happy for him on that front, because I always feel like things involving Caitlin tend to make, like, the guilt complex comes in with regards to Barry specifically, and I feel like it was very nice to not see him necessarily be guilty, because at the same time, Caitlin was a full-ass adult who made her own decisions, and regardless, like, he blew up the lab, but Caitlin and Mark still figured out how to do all the shit anyway, so.
That's what the synopsis said, that he felt guilty, but it didn't feel like that it was that kind of guilt.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I also like that. I will say that. I'm glad that he stood up for himself there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I like that in general, even though they weren't in the A-plot this week, that Barry and Iris continued to feel like a team. They were looking into things together. Like, Iris was researching what happened with Caitlin's dad or something like that. So all of that was great. And the club scene at the end was super cute. Just, like, very dorky and fun and sweet. And even, like, I guess they were bloopers, like the credit scene or whatever was great as well. It was just like, these are the type of happy vibes that we've always wanted to see on the show, and it was nice. And even though, like, we were still dealing with, like, not necessarily dark things, but, you know, life or death situation for Keone anyway, it still felt like a more lighthearted episode. Loved Hartley being back. I've always loved his character, and I feel like when I first saw him, I did remember and miss him speaking randomly in Spanish to Cisco back in the day. But it was just nice to see him living his best life and just kind of like coming to terms with the fact that he has to be the change he sees in himself and not like rely on other people to, you know, make him change. Like, he also has to be active in his own, like, who he wants to be. So I like that conversation with Keone and him, because I feel like she was also coming to terms with, like, who she wants to be. And I feel like with the whole Caitlin thing in general, like, Caitlin being dead and having this whole new character, I was not as annoyed with the situation as I thought I was going to be. I feel like Keone has some strong points. Like, she's not, she's just a completely clean slate. She doesn't have any memory. She's kind of like creating herself. And I think that's really nice. And like, the way that Danielle played her wasn't like horrendous. Like, you can tell this was her own, like, a different person, and someone who completely didn't understand what was going on in terms of people's relationships, but she I feel like she's emotionally intelligent, that she can pick up on things from people and kind of like put two and two together. So she was, you know, decent and part of the episode as well. And I like the fact that like Joe and Cecile actually did, like Tati said, like have a discussion about what they are going to do, even though they didn't come to any conclusions, they still actually talked. And I feel like that's what I've missed in general. It's like these longer conversations about taking whatever next steps they need to take, because sometimes things just happen. But I feel like now we're actually having, laying the groundwork towards something else. Red Death continues to be cool. I like the, like that we have a villain who's just also just pissed off at Barry for whatever reason that we don't know about. So I'm really interested to see where this rest of the season goes.
Yeah, you know, when you see the description and you're like, oh my gosh, there's going to be another one of these kinds of stories. And traditionally, when we've had these kind of big Caitlyn transformation type stories, like with Killer Frost, when she first came out, and a lot of other of those super Caitlyn centric stories, it's always seemed to be at the expense of other stories, especially Iris stories. But this episode, even though the main plot was about this new character, it felt really well balanced among all the other characters as well. Like we did, like Iris didn't disappear because the story was about Keon. In fact, she and Barry were pretty much present and together throughout that story, which we never get. So that was a big like. Also, I was a hater last week and I was like, I don't like this girl. She doesn't seem really different, but like this episode, she does seem different. She does feel like a completely different character. I liked the softness of the character, that it was like a blank slate. And like you said, May, that she was more like emotionally in tune. I like that she doesn't have any of Caitlyn's abilities and that she doesn't have any of Frost's abilities, because if she did, then like, what was the point kind of? So I like that. I had this whole diatribe ready to like tear this story apart before I saw the episode. So I think it did a good job, even though you could argue other things in the dislikes. I like her. I think this might be my favorite version that Danielle has played thus far. Maybe I will flip my mind again. Maybe she'll do something and I'll be like, see, this is why I hate this bitch from first, you know, but I'm not there yet. I like her right now. And I thought it was good. I thought it was really surprising. I think Iris was surprised too when they told her you get to choose, and she's like, yay! And she hugged both Iris and Barry. He's like, okay, we're doing this. So I think there was a lot of fun moments in there. I also agree with you. I feel like this is the first, it's not the first episode where they've shown Barry kind of be the leader, because they're always talking about like, oh, he's mastered his skills now, he has to lead the team, blah, blah, blah. But I feel like this was the most of like that he seemed like a leader to me. Like it was present throughout, from him being like sternly disappointed in Mark for going behind the team's back and not asking for help, to how he handled the conversation with him about that, and not letting Mark run away from the fact that it's your fault that Caitlyn died. Like I destroyed her lab because there was something that needed to be done, but there's no blaming me. You still have a role to play in this situation. And then, you know, afterwards, I think even how he was talking to Hartley, like, and Hartley was losing hope because he thought his boyfriend died, and you know, Barry is, it wasn't just like a pep talk. There was some walk the walk kind of stuff within it. Like he's not just saying it to be inspirational. Here, let me show you, you know. And it just, I don't know. He felt more mature, I think, in this episode than I feel like I've seen in a while. So that was really nice. What else? I liked the inclusion of you know, because you have Barry and Iris kind of working this as a team, them kind of having like conversations and kind of bouncing back and forth off of each other. And I feel like they work really well that way. And then we get like almost like a bonus scene, because you have like a West Ellen loft scene towards the end, which I don't think we would have gotten before. But it was nice to see them kind of talk about, you know, their day at work and have that kind of domesticity. And then we get a bonus with everybody going to the club and having fun and dancing and, it, you know, hanging out outside of the lab. Like, see, Eric, you can do it all and still have like a good story and move the plot forward, and all that. Which I don't know why they weren't doing that before. But
maybe the less episodes, that was actually like a gift.
I think so. And I agree, like the little end credit scenes of extras of them dancing, is just, it felt like the actors had fun. And it's something, it's like a treat to share with fans for the final season. So that was really great. What did not spark joy?
Yay. Okay. So I agree with what you guys are saying. Like, it's nice to see Barry be a leader, and like him, like talking to Mark is good, except I'm a hater because I'm like, Mark is not part of the team. What is he doing here? Like, I actually don't care that he made this mistake or that he doesn't need to be like family. Like, he can go do stupid things shit with Caitlin if he wants to. So that was, I was like, why? And then on the flip side, everyone was way too chill, in my opinion, about Caitlin being dead. Like, Caitlin is dead now. And they're like, that's so weird. Should we vote? And I was like, what? What is happening?
And the vote was like whether to bring her back or they're the dead person that they already mourn.
Yes. So I was so confused. Like, it just felt like another failure of tone, because it's like, everyone's like even Chester being like, Allegra, isn't it so crazy that Caitlin is dead and also we kissed? Like, these are two equivalent things. I was like, listen, I know I don't like Caitlin, but it's very weird that y'all don't like Caitlin. Like, what is happening? Why have we kept her on the show for so long if no one on the show gives a shit about her except for Mark? So I didn't like that. Also didn't like the fucking flashbacks. Like, what was happening? Why did we have a weird blue tinted flashback, like, for every person in the first part of the episode where everyone's like, oh, remember when that happened last week? We should talk about it now. And I was like, yeah, I remember. It was like, why are you showing it to me? So that was very weird as well. What else was I going to say about? Okay. So yes, I'm glad they made the final choice of it being Keown's decision to stay alive. But it was just so crazy to me that they were voting on it in the first place. Like, I think that makes no sense that you vote on a person's life and that everyone's just like, yes. And they all have like the reason for like, well, this is what Caitlin wanted. I was like, or you know what? I didn't help Caitlin last time. I guess
I didn't stand up for Frost before when she asked. Yeah, is that the reason, Iris? Is that the real reason? Yes.
Like, what? So that was very, I was like, okay. So yeah, all of that. Fiddler, it's just not very exciting. I would have rather seen more of Captain Boomerang. Like, Captain Boomerang, try again if you must. then Fiddler. Like, when Captain Boomerang came to like rescue Fiddler was like the superior portion of villain events. Yeah. What else? Even though I liked that Joe and Cecile had that conversation, I don't care about the plot. So just go or don't. Especially because it's like not okay. I don't want to be a hater, but Danny,
it's fine.
Danny Nicolette's like you saw Jesse L. Martin being sad, and then you saw Danny Nicolette being sad. And, like, one of these things was not like the other. Like, every time she was trying to make, like, emotionally sad faces, I was like, just stop.
It's gotten worse, and I don't understand.
Like, at least it was, like, you know, small. Like, you know, it wasn't going too far, but you can see the desire to go too far in her little facial expression. I'm so sorry. But anyway, I am glad that we got to see Barry and Iris together, like working as a team, all of that is great. But, you know, I'm with Iris. I would have rather they gone to Yellowstone. But also, even the fact that she was like, wow, I really wish we could go instead of having to deal with Caitlin not being alive anymore. Like, I feel like it's partially, like, obviously, partially it's the script, you know, not giving weight to certain things. But it also just kind of feels like there are moments where the actors normally in previous seasons would have put something in there, even if it wasn't in there, you know? And now they're like,
where she's like, it's Kaylin. And I'm like, she could have cared less.
Exactly.
We got to try. Like, you could try a little bit more in that language.
That was like mainly like my overriding emotion was like, wow, you guys don't care. Why should I care? But I do agree. Like, I do think this version of Caitlin, Kyone, Snow, whatever, is interesting. It's like, it's nice to see Danielle get to play a different kind of character and one that isn't just like Caitlin and then Caitlin with ice powers. So that's good. And I mean, I guess it'll be interesting to see like Mark being a whiny baby about the situation. I guess it'll be interesting to see where he goes with this and like how he reacts to it. What kind of dynamic he and Kyone have. So I don't know. I don't know. Maybe they'll enemies to lovers it up. Who knows? So yeah.
I don't want to wish him on her. Like
it's too soon.
End scene. Now I'm done.
Yes, I mean, I agree about the flashbacks in general because I feel like the writing in terms of the last couple of seasons has been aimed at children as if like the audience were just kids. They're like, remember what happened last week? It's like, yes, you could either put it in the beginning where it's like last week on The Flash, or just like literally the dialogue itself would tell me what happened last week and they can go on from there. It's like, we don't need these flashbacks. Every time they come on, it's...
Well, you know, I mean, it is directed by Eric Wallace, so I feel like that's
a
good decision.
Yes, it's a terrible decision. It's not a good one. So, yeah, there's that. And then just Mark in general frustrated me because I feel like he was so angry and so, like, whiny, and I don't care about him like that to, like, care about his feelings in general. So every time he spoke, I'm just like, just stop. Like, I get it and understand, but also I don't, because I feel like if they had spent more time focused on his and Frost relationships the last season, like literally they were together about 3-4 weeks, a month, I don't even know, I would have understood where he was coming from in terms of like his desperation to want Frost back. But I feel like even the way that he handled it was just so annoying. Just like the looks on his face and, you know, in terms of like how he was even treating a whole person, which brings me to the whole voting on Keon's life. Like Tati said, was just like, why are you guys doing this? And I feel like in general, even though I do feel like our prediction from last season was correct in that like Caitlin did technically die last season, even though Danielle was back this season, but like, and I didn't expect it, like both of them to go, but I feel like the way that the show has been handling Caitlin's storyline, and this is like honestly been since season 5 maybe, where she just like doesn't have anything going on whatsoever, that even her relationship with the team in general has just kind of been
suffered
a lot. So it feels like this episode was the result of all of that, because it's like Caitlin was so hyper-focused on Frost in general, be it her relationship with her, wanting to bring her back. So it's like everyone else was not non-existent to her a lot of the time. So it was like now she's sort of non-existent to them, I guess. But I do feel like it was a not so great way to kind of like bring her story to a close in terms of like everyone, how everyone else views her, because she has been around since season 1, even though like I don't personally care. It did feel like disrespectful to the character herself, and if they had actually given her, like even if her fans had like thought of her outside of being a love interest, they could have rooted for her in different ways where she could have had a career. She could have been like a meta doctor in general, not just like focused on Star Labs methods, but like everybody else. She could have done like so much more. So it feels like a missed opportunity to have her character leave the lab in general and do something more with her life other than just hanging about and whatnot. So what I'm trying to say is that, like, the lukewarm reception to her death was just that, because, like, we've all felt that way for a long time about her, and I feel like the show has too. So it's like, we're moving on now. But I guess I do like the way that they framed it, that it was still her choice, and like her love of Frost led her to make these mistakes and decisions for herself. So like, she really kind of went out on her own terms.
Really, like, it is so wild that this is a character that's been around since season one, and she kind of dies in an accident that she did herself. It's wild to me that is the end of her, and you're not really going to get her back. Or if you do get her back, I don't know why they would, you know, have this whole episode of accepting Keone and then go back to Caitlin just for the end. Like, she's gone. And it's so crazy, because then, like, you think about, like, last season, if you were just going to kill Caitlin anyway, she could have sacrificed herself for Frost.
Yes, exactly.
And that would have been, you know, the end of her story, especially because it was, like, right off of, like, her and Ronnie bringing back the story. Like, why bring back Ronnie and bring back that story, and then not have that be her ending? Because, you know, Frost could have tried to bring her back. You still could have gotten Keon there, and Frost would just be, you know, they think that they failed, and so she and Mark go off radar, and now you're stuck with Keon, who has no memories. You still could have done that. I don't know, but the way that they kind of just, like, let go of Caitlin, and I was talking to online, this is, like, semi-feedback, but Storm's daughter, at LW, she was like, that's the Hartley Med Bay scene just reminds me that they could have went so many more routes to give Caitlin personal and professional growth and storylines as the meta doctor, which is what you were saying, May, and or research specialist in Central City, and they did this instead. And I completely agree, because, like, with the amount of metas that they've had on the show, I agree, she could have been, like, recognized as the premier expert in metaphysiology. You could have done, you know, because Cisco was, like, the technical expert in the city. He got to be a consultant for CCPD. There's no reason why Caitlin's story couldn't have evolved in her specialty field. You've got Barry as a CSI growing as the Flash. You've got Iris that went from barista to journalist to building her empire. You have Cisco, who started out in the lab, in the Star Labs as a sidekick in the background, to developing his own superpowers, to, you know, graduating from Star Labs and leaving to become the technical director or whatever at Argus. And then you have Caitlin. And there's no stop. Like, she could have been, you know, if Cecile would actually do her job as an attorney, Caitlin could have been, you could have had stories there. And I think, like, you know, like Elsa, they could have had between the CCPD, the Cecile's job in the law space with Caitlin's medical knowledge, you could have had, like, the Law and Order / Grey's Anatomy mashup of Central City. Like, there is so much there that they could have done, and they just neglected a lot of aspects to kind of, and we've talked about this in terms of especially Barry being the Flash and Iris being a journalist, and how there's so many missed opportunities where you could have played both of those things together, tied in, woven in stories. It's the same with, you know, Cecile and the Law and Order side of it with her and Joe. That could have been, like, their ship, Law and Order, right there. And then with Caitlin and, you know, bringing in, using her skills more in a way that did not keep her stuck in one room in Star Labs. And so the fact that they didn't do that, it's just a waste of the character. And then the way that she didn't get to, like, go anywhere. Like, and no one called her mom. No one, like, halfway through the episode, they're like, oh yeah, we should talk to Carla Tannhauser. I'm like, yeah, like, instead of like about this, maybe you should call her mom, because I'm sure her mom would have some like insight as to what to do about this situation. So that was like annoying. And the fact that, yeah, the fact that, you know, like you guys said, it's one thing that, you know, they made a mistake and now Caitlin's in a coma. If we can only bring one back, is it going to be Caitlin or is it going to be Frost? That's one situation, but you have a whole new human being. And I think the thing that annoyed me about Mark so much is that he was, you know, being so selfish and fighting for Frost, like even from the beginning where he's like, okay, you're going to help me manipulate these people that you don't know so that I can get rid of you and bring back the person that I really love. And it was like that kind of like the whole, most of the episode where people are talking about the Caitlin Frost question as if there's not another whole person with personalities. Like, if I was like Keona, I'd be like, I just fucking got here. Like, can I like live for 1 second before someone tries to unalive me or erase me from existence to bring back people that you care about more? Like, that, you know, how would you feel if you were the sole survivor or something and people are like, oh, it's you. Okay. Like, so I was very happy in the end when they're like, you know what? You should have a voice of what you want to do. And that she got to choose herself because she should. So yeah, I agree. I felt like the second fight with the Fiddler kind of reminded me of this like weird Helena Bonham Carter, Alice in Wonderland, like Mad Hatter with the red hair. Like it was like a weird moment for me. But we're one step closer.
She was just there.
She was just there. Yeah. So that was, I mean, that was meh. It was okay. But other than that, yeah, I think the main drama was around the to kill or not to kill Keon. And I know you guys like the conversation between Joe and Cecile, but I thought it was just really funny that he was like, this family can't live without you. And I'm just thinking, Jenna has been raising herself for the past like 3 years. I don't think that she would notice.
He was like, I can't live without you. Jenna, however, I mean, we've been living without her just fine. Right.
Jenna has been fine.
Jenna's just...
She was born.
So sad. But I guess like the one thing about that conversation was when she was like, how can I choose between like the greater good or my family? I'm like, you could still do great things elsewhere.
Right.
I don't understand.
Central City is not the only city in the world that needs help in superheroes. So go start
exactly.
Your own.
Like, didn't you want to be like a metahuman lawyer? Is she only concerned with her powers now? I don't get her trajectory. Yeah.
I think Suara left us feedback. What did he have to say? I know this would be like his favorite episode ever.
Oh my god.
Hello, ladies. Hello, Suara. Well, except for Hartley and the wonderful West Island scenes, this episode was a waste of time, and everything related to Caitlin, Frost, and Chilblain continues to suck. That's all I got.
Wow, Suara. Come on.
Sure. Wow. That was some impressive feedback. Thank you. Tell me everything.
Thank you so much. That is all the feedback we have.
Yeah. I think Sony wanted to send some feedback, but it'll come later. And so we'll just post it on our Tumblr. Lady with Gumption of the Week. I think it's clear to me, but I want to hear you say it.
Is it Keone for deciding to live?
Yes.
Having the gumption to let Caitlin and Frost just stay in.
Having the gumption to choose me. Not A, but B, or B, but me.
Yes, yes, I agree. I think that, like, for someone who didn't know any of these people yet, I think she handled the situation with, like, a gentle demeanor and thoughtfulness that some people did not show her. And yes, she was still very kind.
I feel like I would have liked to have seen, maybe it would have helped me to see the opening scene, like to see how Mark convinced her in the first place to even give up her right to party. But, you know what I mean? Because it's like she shows up and she's like, yes, I am ready to go back in. And then we're going to find Caitlin and or Frost or whatever Mark says. So I was like, what? How did this happen?
He's probably like, you're a mistake. You need to go back. She's like, okay.
I need to return you from whence you came. Return to sender.
Also, yeah. I feel like Thomas Snow, I know he's dead, but I hope they like buried him under the jail, because like the amount of, and I think I said on Twitter, humanitarian crimes, but y'all knew what I mean. Like humane crimes against humanity for experimenting on your daughter so much that you have split her into three different personalities. Like you need to go to jail like right now, sir.
Absolutely. They need to resurrect him to
child abuse.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. 100%.
Predictions for next week or Red Death reveals.
I don't know that I have any other than like, and I think somebody's mentioned this on Twitter, so it's not like my theory, obviously, but like the idea that Red Death is from like a completely different Earth, and that's why she was like vibrating. She was kind of caught between worlds. I like that theory. So I'm sorry, I do not remember who came up with it on Twitter, but yes, that.
I definitely agree. She's from a different world, like a different Earth, for sure.
Yeah. I talked about that last week, did we?
Yes, we did. Because I was saying, I think they will follow the Metal Knights, that version at least, that part of the story. But I just hope that we're going to get a little more insight into her soon, because I love the concept, and of course I love Javicia, and I want to see, you know, an alt-Ryan, if you will. But I want her to get the best possible story out of this that she get. So.
Yeah, and so far it's just been, I hate Barry.
Like, yeah, okay. Exactly. Like, yeah, no, I feel you, but like, why?
Yeah, I agree with that. Do we think that Captain Boomerang, that she brought Boomerang and Fiddler from her Earth?
Maybe, but I feel like
the thing about like Iris, like that's not my Izzy Bowen.
But wasn't there like the whole thing when they merged Earths in general that there were new metas?
Yeah, but it's more interesting if she brought them, because like why would they be working for her otherwise?
And why would she like? How would she like find them out? Or
yeah,
why?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
That connection.
Yeah. So yeah, I think I like that theory that she brought them.
One other question. Do we think, because I feel like, and I think a lot of people were getting like Sky High vibes from Kim and like her connection to nature and how much she loved the rain and you know, all this kind of stuff. And it felt like most of the episode, I don't know if it was most of the episode. It felt like most of the episode. Yeah. Because it started like Joe staring out the window, mourning his only daughter, Caitlin, was in the beginning of the episode. But it was like raining the entire episode while Kion is like feeling sad, neglected because no one wants her here. And then when she chooses herself and we have the scene of West Allen at their loft, like debriefing, decompressing, it's sunny outside. So is the change in weather connected to Kion?
It's possible, because I feel like there was one, like when they were in the lab and after she did choose herself and Iris was like, it stopped raining. I was like, well, that's so random to mention.
Okay.
So, but if it is connected, then it's not so random. But I that would be interesting. At first I was like, are they going to do like a Poison Ivy version of her or something like that? Which I guess this would be the closest thing, but I think it would explain her emotional intelligence too, like her being kind of in tune with other people.
And it goes with like the whole, like Kion being the goddess. What did it say? Like the goddess of snow, like Greek goddess.
Yeah.
So it would go with the whole goddess vibes of, you know, emotional intelligence and being one with nature, that kind of thing.
So long as they give her those, you know, like new blue extensions or whatever, because it's not working.
I feel like they're going to have to like move it out.
Like, what's going on? When she came out of the womb, the CRR womb, whatever it's called, did she just have blue extensions, or did Mark run and get her some?
I think she did that on her.
She went straight to Claire's and she got the little
children. She's like, I know nothing, but I do know this.
All right. Well, that concludes our recap of the episode for this week. Once again, if you were late getting your feedback, you can still send it in and we will post it on Tumblr. If you want to send it in, you can send it to ladieswgumption@tumblr.com, or you can send us asks on ladieswgumption.tumblr.com.
At Gmail.
Well, let me remember what my handle is. Yeah. And we will see you next week, I guess.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.